In Greece, Cyprus, and Russia, Elder Joseph's contribution to monasticism was one of building up or renewal. In America, however, his contribution was a true innovation, one that changed the face of the Orthodox Church there. Archpriest Father Theodore Petrides, rector of the parish in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, will speak to us about the contribution of Elder Joseph the Hesychast in America. I now give him the floor. Your Eminence, Your Graces, beloved fathers and brothers, first of all I would like to thank the fathers of the Holy Monastery of Machaerus, who helped me prepare this presentation. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. The true members of the body of Christ offer themselves in service to the whole church out of love for God, though each member serves above all the people of his own generation. Yet as time passes, those who benefit most and give the greatest thanks for the victory of Christ's soldiers are the generations that follow them, their spiritual descendants. Thus the benefit of Elder Joseph the Hesychast's offering becomes ever more apparent as we, his heirs, see his legacy unfolding in the life of the Church. Elder Joseph's offering resembles the once-for-all offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. This offering of Christ the Shepherd, who serves as the prototype for his sheep, is expressed in the prayer of the proscomide through the words of the prophet Isaiah, with which we began. Elder Joseph did not open his mouth, yet through the praxis of Hesychiah, the active ascetic life of inner stillness, he has become a height from which thousands of pearls are gathered. Many hundreds of monks in Greece, Cyprus, and the rest of the world are joined today by the more than 200 monks living in the 20 monasteries that adorn the Greek Orthodox Church in North America. His heavenly intercessions are felt especially by Elder Ephraim of America, his spiritual child and the former abbot of the Holy Monastery of Philotheo on the Holy Mountain, and also by Elder Ephraim's spiritual children, the spiritual grandchildren and great-grandchildren of Elder Joseph. Imitating their spiritual grandfather, they become bearers of the Spirit, spreading the pure light of Orthodoxy among many Americans and Canadians. In this way, the prophecy of Father Porphyrios, a blessed contemporary of Elder Joseph, is being fulfilled. He foretold that the monasteries in America would become a true second Pentecost. Through this presentation, I hope to give a brief outline of the historical development of the 20 monastic communities under Elder Ephraim's spiritual guidance in the United States and Canada, emphasizing wherever possible their love and devotion toward their grandfather Joseph. Their story begins at Elder Joseph's Hesychasterion, his hermitage on the Holy Mountain. While Father Ephraim was still his disciple under obedience, the elder once called him and said, "The more you remain in silence now, the more you will speak in churches one day." But Father Ephraim did not attach much importance to these prophetic words of his elder. Knowing that a monk does not leave the place of his repentance, only later, after Elder Joseph's death, would he understand what those words meant, as happened with many other enigmatic sayings the elder had uttered. Toward the end of the 1970s, when Elder Ephraim had become abbot of Philotheo Monastery and spiritual father to 10 other monasteries throughout Greece, God's providence arranged for him to travel to America for medical reasons. As he visited numerous hospitals in the United States and Canada in search of a suitable physician, Elder Ephraim encountered the faithful of the Greek Orthodox Church in North America, who heard that he was there and sought him out. Contrary to his original wishes and intentions, he realized that he would be visiting America regularly to gather these wandering sheep. Once, while staying with a group of families living in Hawaii, the elder received a second indication from Elder Joseph. One night, he saw himself in a vision gathering fruit in a large orchard and trying to hold what he had gathered in the folds of his cassock. Then he saw Elder Joseph together with Father Arsenios, his fellow ascetic. Elder Joseph said to him, "Kautsiko, that is, little one, this is nothing. Wait until you see how much you will gather." At that time, Elder Ephraim explained the method he followed in founding the monasteries with this analogy. Just as a person needs two legs to stand upright, the monasteries of North America needed two legs if Athenite life and the spirit of Elder Joseph were to be successfully transplanted to this continent. One leg had to be experienced monks or nuns from Greece, and the other American or Canadian monastic novices. Time does not permit us, however, to name, one by one, all these monasteries, which have sprung up like shoots throughout the American land. Nor can we speak individually about all the elders and abbesses who lead them. Yet every monastery has a very similar, and sometimes wondrous, story behind it. Usually many faithful from a particular region of the country repeatedly make heartfelt appeals to Elder Ephraim to establish a monastery in their area. Elder Ephraim then gives his blessing for the search for a suitable property. Once the property has been secured, the elder invites two or three monks from among his spiritual children in Greece to establish the new monastery. With Elder Joseph's prayers and through obedience, the virtue that Elder Joseph emphasized so strongly, each monastic community begins to flourish. The beginning was quite difficult. The monastics had to face the challenges of adapting to a new country, unfamiliar kinds of food, vast distances, and severe weather, 8 feet of snow in Montreal during the winter, for example, or temperatures above 45 degrees Celsius in the Arizona desert. They also faced isolation, and even the fear of wild animals, bears, jackals, snakes, and scorpions, as well as every power of the enemy. All these things tested the faith of the first brotherhoods and sisterhoods. One newly appointed abbot, who was seeking spiritual strength, related that he took up the book of Elder Joseph's letters, hoping for a word of encouragement. He opened it at random, and his eyes immediately fell upon the sentence, "I pray for you," meaning, "I am praying for you." Indeed, repeated confirmation of the power of Elder Joseph's and Elder Ephraim's prayers encouraged these pioneering monastics to persevere. Their labors remind us of Elder Joseph's own difficult beginnings and struggles in the desert of the Holy Mountain. A pilgrim at St. Anthony's Monastery in Arizona testified to the following event during the laying of the foundation of the first church. As the cornerstone bearing the gold cross was placed in the ground, the cries of jackals suddenly arose from every direction in the surrounding desert. The monk beside him whispered, "The demons did not like that." Besides, the temptations presented by their natural and supernatural neighbors, there has also been opposition from some so-called faithful in the local Greek Orthodox communities, and even from members of the clergy who regard the monasteries as a threat and a challenge to the parishes and their sources of income. They write openly in church publications and Greek newspapers about the supposedly fanatical behavior of the Ephraimites. Indeed, the prophetic calling of the monk does not come without a price. During his lifetime, Elder Joseph was often misunderstood and slandered, yet he always turned the other cheek. Thus, his spiritual grandchildren in America have been given the opportunity to follow his example in this as well. Nevertheless, those who have found in America's monasteries a peaceful harbor and a spiritual intensive care unit for troubled and wounded souls far outnumber those who judge the monasteries negatively. When pilgrims come, and often they greatly outnumber the monastics, the monks and nuns greet and welcome them, showing them the generous hospitality that characterizes Athenite monasticism. The monastics accept that their life in America is also a mission. They welcome the presence of all these pilgrims. Although most visitors do not stay overnight, those who do find the rhythm of the monastery spiritually renewing. The monastic's daily order follows an established pattern shaped by the ancient 17th century tradition of prayer. Prayer, fasting, worship, vigil, charitable service to those in need, and hospitality toward pilgrims and visitors. The creativity and diligence that characterize the monastics of each monastery are also part of what they inherited from Grandfather Joseph's resourceful and quick-witted character. Another remarkable feature of the monasteries in North America is the extensive building work undertaken by the brotherhoods and sisterhoods as the number of pilgrims and monastics grows. At St. John Chrysostom Monastery in Kenosha, Wisconsin, for example, Abbess Melania and the sisters, in obedience to Elder Ephraim, have constructed a complex of buildings worth several million dollars, including a magnificent Byzantine-style church with 8 domes. Beside the church stand an enormous bookstore, meeting rooms, and a refectory that can accommodate 200 pilgrims. A covered walkway connects the church to the nuns' new cells, two chapels, and several workshops. How they have managed thus far to pay all their bills and keep up the payments on their outstanding loan has become a source of wonder and amazement to many. And it also became the reason their accountant converted to the Orthodox faith. Abbess Melani writes, "Our holy grandfather Joseph is the heart and soul of our monastery. Our whole life of prayer, work, and worship revolves around his teachings. These are, of course, rooted in the teachings of the Holy Fathers of the Orthodox Church and have been handed down to us intact through the ascetic and profound experience of our spiritual father, Elder Ephraim." Each sister reads a short passage from Grandfather's writings as part of her daily rule of prayer, and all the sisters have incorporated his teachings into their daily lives, each according to her ability. His teachings on perfect obedience, hesychiah, inner stillness, and unceasing prayer through the Jesus Prayer. Grandfather's divine love for Christ and the Most Holy Theotokos, together with his supernatural courage, patient endurance, and strength in the ascetic discipline of the Christian life, are for us the primary model and inspiration in our spiritual struggle, though we know that our efforts amount to nothing beside his. All the monastics deeply experience Elder Joseph's personal help and presence in their lives. Every day they invoke him in prayer and ask for his help and guidance, as well as for his bold intercession before Christ. Not a day passes without his being mentioned in their spiritual conversations. You often hear them say, "Grandfather did this," or "Grandfather always used to say that." It is a great blessing for every monastery to possess a small fragment of his holy relics, which have helped many monks and nuns overcome difficult spiritual struggles, although they do not believe they come anywhere near his astonishing degree of ascesis. Through their obedience they share, in some measure, in its fruit, that is, in the grace the elder acquired. If we wish to speak of miracles, we could say that the monastics consider the greatest miracles to be the many hidden and personal changes that take place in each person's heart within the monasteries through personal metanoia, repentance, and prayer, and those wondrous conversions that occur in a very tiny room called the confessional. Nevertheless, besides all this, the many signs of Elder Joseph's presence cannot be hidden under a bushel. Several clearly visible miracles have taken place in which his holy relics helped women who were unable to conceive. The blessed skull of Elder Joseph, preserved at St. Anthony's Monastery in Arizona, has forced the demons within possessed persons to cry out in torment, as though someone were striking them with chains. At the Monastery of the Holy Archangels in Candelia, Texas, Elder Joseph saved a worker from a life-threatening accident. Earlier that day, the worker had been operating his forklift when he suddenly saw an elder in an old cassock, his beard flowing in the air. He thought this was strange because there was no wind at all. The elder smiled at him, and at that moment the worker heard gentle voices. Later, he thought that the elder could have been none other than Elder Ephraim. This was confirmed when he saw a photograph of him, the golden chain of the grace-filled elders of Orthodox monasticism and their disciples, which can be traced throughout the centuries of church history, and of which Elder Joseph is a significant recent link, has now extended to the North American continent through the establishment of these 20 spiritual strongholds during the past quarter century. We in North America look forward with gratitude and the fear of God to seeing what. And the question arises, is the establishment of these monasteries in America, through the great offering of Elders Joseph and Ephraim today, at the beginning of the 8th millennium, the means by which the Lord will provide a safe refuge during the difficult times ahead for those few faithful who still desire to enter through the narrow gate before the gate closes for good? One thing is certain, Elder Joseph's profound legacy in Orthodox monasticism in North America will continue to become ever more evident in the years to come. May we all have his blessing. Thank you. We thank Father Theodore very much for his thorough and concise presentation through the two excellent presentations by His Grace Bishop Pankratios of Troitsk and Proto-Presbyter Father Theodore on Elder Joseph, the hesychast's influence in America and Russia. I believe we have gained a clear picture of the worldwide scope of the influence exerted by Elder Joseph, the hesychast's presence and work. We offer our heartfelt thanks both to His Grace Father Pankratios and to Father Theodore. Many questions may perhaps have arisen. that could be asked about this presentation, as well as about the two previous papers that were read, we must now close, and during the next third session, or rather, after the third session has been completed, our esteemed participants will be given time to ask questions both about these subjects and about those that will be discussed in the next session. Thank you very much, and